It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So that was an experience. Okay, then how do you quit that job?
It was a hard to quit, honestly, because I was like, it just became too much, and it started to get, like, I was paid hourly. But then I would start doing, I don't want to say Paulie wasn't a good guy, but it just got to like, he'd be like, oh, can you run to my house and do this thing for me? And I would charge him. Cause I'm like, he's like, Hannah, you can't charge me for that. You're doing that as a friend. And I'm like, no, we're not friends.
No,
Paulie.
You can't.
Like,
no, you got to have a boundary. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah. And as soon as I started making boundaries, it was getting hard. And I finally was like, I have to leave. Also, you're not paying me enough money. And he was like, well, I was like, you know, my parents have been, cause I wasn't making enough money. So my parents would like help me a little, but they were like, okay, you're a year out of college. We're not helping you anymore. So I did tell him, I was like, look, I need to make more money. And he's like, do you want me to call your dad? Because I think you working for me is like really good opportunity for you. Yeah. I was like, yeah. No. Yeah. I was like, no, you can't call my dad. Like, no, this is boundaries.
Imagine your father picking up the phone. Your accomplished father. Hi. Hello. Hey, Paulie Shaw. Who? Paulie Shaw. Uh-huh. How can I help you? Lisa, your daughter, she better work. I don't even know what fucking accent this is, but your daughter better work for me because you know what? I'm really, really, really. I mean, what the fuck? So you say no and you quit. Do you find him another assistant before you quit?
I did. And I don't think they lasted. He was like, Hannah, there's a reason why you lasted so long. I'm like, I've only been here for a year.
There's a reason that that's a long time for you.
Yeah.
So what happens? You know, that your parents sound like excellent parents saying, you know what, we're done. We're done sending you money. I applaud them.
Yeah, they're good. They've been really good because my dad was always like, because he worked in corporate and then he got laid off from the Chamber of Commerce. And so he's like big on like, do your own thing. Because if you work for a company, like it feels safe, but they can cut you at any time.
Yeah.
I was, I worked at a gym and I also was a tour guide.
Oh, okay. And those were just survival jobs, which, you know, you're doing those to pay your bills, to take care of yourself. And at night, are you doing stand-up or?
Yeah.
What's going
so I was
on?
Doing a lot of stand-up. And then I became an assistant for a director who was actually the worst job I've ever had.
And what a director, like a personal, again, a personal assistant?
Mm-hmm. That Paulie got me, but he was like, you know, I'm crazy, so you can handle this guy. But this guy was like manipulative on a level that I was like, I was like starting to get worried. Like, you know, when you feel unsafe.
Well, yeah, you get to this point where you're like, you get this thing in your gut where you're like, something's wrong. And you're like, you have to follow that. And is this a director of film, of television, of?
For comedy stuff.
And well-known or works a lot or?
Yeah, works a lot. Very well-known, very, very prestigious. And actually when I applied for my Comedy Central job, the VP at the time of talent came into the room after I got hired and goes, you know, I said, when I saw that you work for
blank,
that we have to hire you. Cause the fact that you work for that man is insane. He's an insane person. And I was like, I knew it, but I'm like, how does this guy get hired?
Okay, so for everyone listening, this is what it's fucking like. You know, you can talk about the hashtag Me Too and it's too much. But this is a fucking example of how young women are objectified and treated in this business. Young woman with, you know, a great education, just trying to make it, has to deal with this. It's fucking insane. Okay. So you get this job with this director who you're not telling me who it is, but you will later. And is he still working?
Yeah. So he's working on all these projects and he's telling
me. Had you known who he was?
I didn't know who he was, but I looked him up before I applied and I was like, yeah, he's done amazing things. And of course, and he was like, yeah, of course I'll introduce you to the people here, the people there. Of course he didn't. And I was like working out of his house. And
married,
divorced, one kid. And that was the other part where I'm like, this is messed up. Cause I was basically his kid's babysitter, who I actually really liked the kid and felt bad for. His wife comes in one day and she's picking up the kid. She goes, why do you still work here? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, he's never going to help you and you need to get out. And I was like, damn, this feels, it felt
how
like,
how long had you been working for him?
At this point, I was going to say I'll do it for a year, but I quit three times. He wouldn't let me quit.
So after how long and then after how long and then after how long?
So I quit after 5 months and then he's like, I need to get through this stuff. I need to do, he was doing a big award show and I had asked him for one ticket because he had leftover tickets. And he was like, sorry, I can't give it to you. But then gave it to this young girl that he was trying to impress who was younger than me at the time to like get her there. And that's when I quit. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. Like, I needed this to, I was trying to get a manager at the time. So I was trying to impress him with this ticket and he wouldn't give it to me. And I was like, you're going to have this young girl because you think she's going to fuck you. Like, and I've done all this shit for you. I was like, absolutely not. I'm done. And he was like, wait, I don't understand what I did wrong. Cause I didn't say why, but I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not giving you 2 weeks. I'm leaving after this award show and we're not talking anymore. And he was like, oh my God. He's like, what'd I do? And I was like, the fact that you don't even know
you're
is like
an asshole. Now what, can you tell me what time of year this award show was?
It was March or April.
Okay. Just trying to do my little research here. Okay. So you stay to help. You were like, oh, okay. And you stay for how much longer?
I quit after that award show. So I think that award show was on a Friday and I was done.
Oh, but you
or
said
Saturday.
You tried to quit. All right, you tried to quit.
So before I tried to give 2 weeks and I was like, cause he, one time he like started throwing things and I was like, you know what? No. And he wouldn't keep the heat on in the house cause he wasn't home. So I used a space heater and he told me I was using too much energy with the space heater.
Or fucking mental. Okay. So you quit and do you thank the wife?
No, but the son was, I felt bad. I messaged him and I was just like, or I didn't message him, but before I quit, I saw him and I was like, hey, I'm leaving. He was like, no, please don't leave. And I was like,
oh my God, you must have. Oh.
Yeah, it really made me sad because I really did like him. And
how old was he?
He was in seventh grade.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That poor kid. Was his mother good?
His mom was really cool. And she was, but she was the one that was like, you got to get the fuck out of this. She's like, he's fucking crazy.
Oh, okay. So you leave that and what do? And you're still performing, correct?
Yeah, I'm still performing. And then I think it was, I was about to start at a law firm actually. And then I had a meeting with Rick and he was like, you should move to New York. And I was like, okay, I'm going to move to New York.
Wait, so you were going to work at a law firm and perform, and Rick Dorfman,
yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah.
Who is my manager and your manager, says move to New York. And had you ever thought about, no, I want to be on TV and I want to do this and I want to do that. I should be in LA.
I did, but then I met with an agent from this thing called Players Talent Club. And he looked at my headshot and he was like, like, you're kind of fat now, huh? And I was like,
no, he didn't.
Yeah. And he goes, are you older? And I was like, I'm a year older and I guess I'm 7 pounds heavier. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, like, it's like, you're like, not like fat enough where it's funny, but you're not like skinny where you could be hot. So I would pick
an
angle.
Agent told you this?
Yes.
A male agent.
Yes.
How old?
I was 25.
How old was he?
Probably 60.
Was it a big agency?
No, it was called Players Talent Club in the Valley.
Oh, Players Talent Club. Do you people see what I'm talking about?
It was insane.
Don't fucking tell me that that this shit doesn't happen. Okay. And at any point while this is happening, are you like, do you take it in? Do you internalize it? Or do you just go, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you? I mean,
it was like, I have body dysmorphia as it is. So of course I internalize it, but he was like, I guess I'll sign you, but like, I don't know. And I was like, no. So I left. And then I met with Rick, I think 2 days later, and Rick didn't say anything about my weight. He didn't say anything about my appearance. He talked about my comedy and like what I wanted to do. And he asked where I got my inspiration and like what kind of scripts I wanted to write. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to move to New York. Like, fuck this. Like, what am I doing here?
So that guy, the 60-year-old guy, and how many years ago was this? Like three?
Three, yeah.
This is still going on, fuckheads, is what I'm talking. And did you ever think of like, don't say I'm fat. You can't say that to me. Or has that ever occurred to you?
Now I would. But at the time, I didn't have representation. I had never worked in the industry. I had I had internships, but I hadn't, you know, now I've like worked enough and I have enough under my belt where I could have been like, fuck you.
Right.
Like, you don't even have a fucking receptionist. It's you in this empty room. He also yelled at me for being early. And I was like, what is this?
What? Hello, people. Time.
So he was like, yeah, I guess I could sign you. And I was like, I'll think about it. And then I left and I never talked to him.
Can I ask a really bad question? Was he Jewish?
I don't know.
Okay, he wasn't. Anyway, so you then meet Rick and you are like, I'm packing up. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Were you nervous? I mean, did you know anyone in New York?
No. Yeah, I was pretty nervous because my friends from college were there and I was like, I don't know. Like, what if I go out there? It's the same shit, you know, but I knew LA wasn't working. I was like, I'm not getting an agent. All the managers said I'm like not sellable. So like that was everyone's thing. You're not sellable.
Right. You can't, it's all branding. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, what does that even fucking mean? And I was like, if anything, I know New York has way more stand-up. So if at least I can go do more sets.
Right. And be a great comic. I mean, don't you think it is the best place
to
become a great comic? Because the audiences are not forgiving here. And you have to be fucking funny. And you can get stage time. Okay. So you moved to, where do you move to in New York? And are your parents like, Hannah, what do you mean you're moving to New York? That would be the Jewish version of Hannah's parents.
No, I think my mom was excited. My dad was sad because he loves to go to LA. He was like, oh, I want a reason to go to LA. But my mom was happy it was closer.
Where do you move to?
I was subletting a place in West Village. Studio. Yeah, it was nice. But it was a pretty good deal. It was like $1,800, which is pretty good for now.
Right.
And I basically just used all the money I had to be like for 3 months. And then I got the job at Comedy Knockout within a month.
Now, how did you get that job?
Rick got me an audition for their like test show. And basically I was so nervous, but I had prepared so many jokes and they were like, okay, she's way too nervous. We can't like have her on the show, but she could be a writer because her jokes were really good. Cause I won the episode, but I was clearly like shaking.
What was the format of that show?
It was like basically like Whose Line Is It Anyway? It was basically the show.
Right.
So it'd be like, oh, you're at your grandmother's funeral. What's something you say? If you're, you know, something, it would be like ding, and then you would say a joke.
Right. And you would write those. You would write those for the contestants. Okay.
Yeah.
You start writing, you get a writing job.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow, so you feel differently in New York, I'm assuming. You're like, oh, this, I mean, what if you had to tell someone what the difference between New York and LA is for someone in your, you know, generation, or what would you say?
I would say start in New York because it's really about how funny you are. Whereas I felt like in LA, it was like, oh, she's kind of hot though. Like, let's put her on. And it's that's not even, what are you doing? Because it's not, And it's a lot of act out. I mean, if you want to act, don't do stand up at all. I hate when actors are like, I'm just going to do stand up once a month. And then,
oh, I know.
And there's a lot of that in LA. And in New York, right. It's like, just.
No, you're either a stand up or you're not a stand up.
Yeah. And it's too much. And there's too much going on in New York. And it's way too hard to survive here to just kind of do it. You either have to love it or you don't.
Oh, love it.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer, and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra, that has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
Okay, so you start working on that show. And
it just gave me more confidence, I think.
Right.
Because I had just been told I was too fat and I didn't have any talent or brand.
How long before you realize, oh my God, that this is the business, those people are fucking assholes, or have you? And that I'm going to have to listen to this for the rest of my life, you know, in this business. Like,
yeah, I mean, before I moved to New York, I was like, is this what I really want my life to be like?
Right.
I love stand-up so much, and I love what I'm doing so much. I'm so happy I moved to New York and I'm still doing it. But I mean, I still get like that. Like, why am I fucking doing this? My friends are getting married and I'm like, I don't even have a fucking boyfriend.
Oh, please. And who cares?
I know.
Who cares? No, it doesn't matter. No. You know, I I love it. You're right. You know, you have to really want to do it, but it's like, you'll have a boyfriend and you're young. Okay. So in those 3 years since you've been here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have started a podcast.
Correct.
You have done a Snapchat show.
Correct. Yeah.
So you create, which is great. And your show, don't tell mom, it was because you got wasted even though you were in your late 20s and were like, oh, don't tell mom. And then you were like, I'm in my late 20s and what the fuck? Correct?
Yeah. I texted.
Okay, you're still.
Yeah. I thought I was texting my brother and I was like, don't tell mom. Cause I quit drinking for a while. I go back and forth and that scares people, but I've never been a drinker that's like, oh, I'm always drunk or like I've always.
Right.
It's just like, I get to a point where my anxiety gets so bad and the shame of like the anxiety gets so bad. So I'll stop for long periods of time. And so I was in Miami and I was texting my brother and he was like, Hannah, I don't think you're an alcoholic. So, but also I'm not going to tell mom you're 28. Like you could.
Right. Yeah. That anxiety, if I could go back, I would ask for all the time I spent sitting here being anxious for no fucking reason. Cause it doesn't fucking matter, but you know, that's what happens. Okay. So you did that. You did your Snapchat show. In the meantime, you got a matching tattoo with someone on the first date. What the fuck is that? What really happened? You're out. You're on a date. You're like, let's get a tattoo. Like,
yeah, that's what happened.
On our body, that is never going to come off our body, and it hurts. Does it hurt?
Not really. Okay. I've been in an on and off. I wouldn't say it's toxic relationship with someone. And we had just gone to Miami for his birthday.
Someone in the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's more successful than me. So it's,
right.
You know, but not like that. We were always best friends and then he got more successful, whatever. And then
that's unusual. Go ahead.
And then, and now we had just gone back and I was so sad and he always gets like young girlfriends, of course. I don't know why guys do that. Mm-hmm. I met out with a 22-year-old once. I'm like, yeah. He's so fucking annoying. How do people do that? Right. Whatever. So I just wanted this. I feel like I needed to prove something to myself. Like, I can get a guy to fucking commit to me. Let's go get tattoos.
And have you ever seen that guy again?
Yeah, we're actually friends. Yeah.
And you have matching tattoos. Do you feel like you're bonded to him forever now because of that stupid fucking tattoo?
No.
What does the tattoo say?
I know you're going to, I already see the judgment in your eyes.
Okay, go.
You look like my mother, like when she's angry. When she did the same look, like.
Okay.
It says S&M.
You're going to get call me in 10 years and be like, I can't fucking believe I have this fucking shit on my body. Okay. It says S&M. Because you were doing S&M?
No, we didn't even have sex that night. So
that's great. Why did you pick S&M?
Because we met at Smith & Mills, which is that bar. And we're like, that's kind of funny.
Well, all I have to say is, if you ever have children, one kid has to start with an S and one has to start with an M. That's all I have to fucking say. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Hello. Okay. That's number one. Number two is you also went home to your parents and lived in your mother's basement, correct? For the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And you managed to get herpes. So, you're quarantined and you get the wrong virus, as you say.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, how would that happen while you were in the middle of a fucking global pandemic and you're living in your mother's basement?
Well, the basement does have a door.
Okay.
And I was seeing a guy who lives in DC, but he was alone. Mm-hmm. I was alone. So it wasn't like we were like going everywhere. We were just hanging out. And he had.
How did you meet this guy?
Online.
This is what I'm talking about, people. This is a whole other generation. Go.
And
oh my God.
Yeah, we were just like hanging out a lot and it was moved very quickly. And then one night we did have a condom and I was like, well, when was the last time you got tested? And he was like, I actually got tested like a month and a half ago and I haven't seen anyone because we've been in a pandemic. Or 2 months ago, because we had seen each other like a few weeks.
And what
like,
does this guy do? What does this guy do?
He's an engineer.
So he's got a good job. How old is he, may I ask?
28. He's my age.
Okay.
Good and school? He had just, he was a honors Virginia Tech person.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. And he had just, him and his girlfriend, like the year before had broken up, but they were living together. So it wasn't like he was just this huge asshole.
You're like, oh, wow, nice guy. Like not in the business, engineer. This is what I mean. Go ahead.
And then, so we hook up. And then I start to get really sick. And I think I have corona. So I go get tested for corona twice.
Okay, what kind of sick? Like fever?
Fever, chills. I can't get out of bed. I couldn't get out of bed for a week.
Oh.
And so I have eczema all over my butt. And I assumed that it was flaring up because I was sick. Right. And then one day I hadn't got out of bed. I lost 10 pounds, which.
Perfect. Oh my God. I got to get this herpes.
Yeah. I'm happy to give it to you. I don't know if I can. Anyway, I don't really know how this virus works, to be honest. Yeah. But so I'm freaking out. I'm like, and then I look down and the herpes now is like gone, spread to my legs.
Nice.
And I'm texting this guy and he's like not responding anymore. By the way, he was texting me all day, every day before this. So I'm like, there is. So I call him and I'm like, I'm going to the gynecologist and he doesn't answer. And I'm like, this fucking guy, I do a virtual, I do spread eagle on this fucking Zoom.
Oh my God. You went to the gyno on Zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, where were you laying on the bed? Like what? How'd you set up the, did you have a ring light for your Zoom gyno appointment?
No.
Okay. Wait, I need a visual. You're laying on your bed.
I just like do this type where, of thing.
So you're, wait, so you're laying like that. And where's the, are you on your phone?
So it was like, no, I was on the computer. I was like this. So I'm like spreading.
You're on the computer with your legs through. And was the gyno like, can you move the camera to the right? Or
no,
right?
Immediately. I went like this. And she goes, that's herpes. It was very quick. And I was like, are you sure? Cause I, you know, that was pretty quick and like in Zoom. And she was like,
she's like, no, seen this. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She goes, it's so common. She's like, I've seen this. I see this 3 times a day.
Okay.
And so
then do you freak out?
Yeah. I start crying and I'm wearing the same shirt that I had gotten in Miami that I slept in. It said side bitch. So I'm literally like spread eagle with my shirt on. It says side bitch open with my legs on Zoom. I find out I got herpes. I start crying. And she's like, I know this feels like a big deal. She's like, because the stigma, but it's really not a big deal. And everyone has it. She's like, we don't even test people for it anymore because if it's in your blood and you're not having an outbreak, you can't transfer it. If you're not having an outbreak, right. You can't transfer it. So she right. said, since basically like 80% of the world has it. But if you think you have it, it's going to cause stress, which could cause an outbreak, or it's just going to like ruin you mentally. So they don't tell people. So she was just
Did you
like,
have any like emotional, like some people, they go crazy, right? With the herpes. Did you have any cognitive shit happen?
Yeah. I was like so depressed. And like, I called the suicide hotline at like 4 a.m.
Oh.
And she was like, oh. And I was like, what? How is herpes the worst?
Judged on the suicide hotline? You're getting
judged?
Yeah,
it was just like an initial reaction. She's like, oh.
Right.
And then she did, you know, she was great. It's the suicide hotline's great.
So wait, did you call the guy and tell him to go fuck himself?
Yeah. And then he tried to put it back on me. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, you're fucking lying to me. I was like, stop with the lies. The point is, he was like, actually, so he had sex with 5 girls. Unprotected. Just lied.
So he got it from someone and then transferred it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that situation, because I'm a lesbian and I never had to deal with the shit. Like, what would you want from him to resolve this? Like, cause I think in a way it's not only irresponsible, but there should be some penalty. Don't you think? He's now affected your health for the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm pitching an animated show called STD Court where it's like, what's the penalty of like the situation?
Right.
I think my guy friend who manipulated me and like literally made, I was like so depressed after that, like so deeply, like almost broken. I still feel like gutted from that. When I heard I got herpes from this fucking asshole in DC, I was like, you know what? Of course. Like, I don't care. Cause I was like, I wasn't emotionally tied to him. I was just like so broken by men. I was just like, of course that is what happened. Of course he lied. Of course he like, you know, and now I'm like, I felt stupid. I was just like, why do I keep doing this?
But you're not, but it's not you, but it's just like an example of why do women have to like, start from this place of, I can't trust you. You have to earn, like, it's just, it's awful. It's like, I think this episode is such a good example of, you just want to work. And the shit that we have to put up with. I mean, I don't anymore because no one wants to fuck me, but you know, it's just.
Yeah, they do.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces, but I live in an apartment and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Do you talk to other women in the business around your age and it's the same shit?
Yeah, I think everyone has like a similar story or a similar situation. I honestly, I don't like talking about like, also, I'm in a lawsuit with USC right now because the gynecologist, my first pap smear, he had sexually assaulted me. And I told everyone it was weird. And, you know, he was saying things that were like, ooh, your hymen's still here, actually. And like, he was fingering me, which I didn't know that wasn't a thing. And like, I had told everyone this and everyone's like, pap smears are weird, Hannah. He's just like a doctor. And then when this whole thing came out, I was like, I was so pissed. I was like, I fucking said it. And everyone's like, you're crazy.
Yeah. It's gaslighting. Wait, were there other students who came out against him?
Yeah. So I originally just called the school, not even going to sue. And then they were like, oh, we can't really help you. We just like wanted my, and I'm like, fuck this school. This
you fucking take from us, you fucks.
Yeah.
You can't help us.
Yeah. So now I'm repped by Gloria Allred is my lawyer.
I love Gloria. I did her, I hosted her roast at the Friars Club when was roasted. It was all women. Okay. So.
But yeah, all to say, I just feel like it's so frustrating, but I have a friend who's a good comic, Erica Spera, I don't know, but she was really helpful to me and she, cause she had it in the same situation and she texted me a lot and she started a support group about herpes and.
Yeah, that I read that she has a support group on Zoom for people who've gotten herpes.
Yeah. So we text about guys a lot. Cause she's, so she's one comic. We just talk about stuff and
right.
People are just fucking creepy.
you know, the fact that guys who are 28 and comics who've done what you do, who've been had internships and blah, blah, you know what I mean? And are writing shows and are pitching shows and have podcasts and, you know, they don't have to deal with this shit. Like, that's the point that I'm trying to make. It's like, you come in, you're only 28, you know, you're a baby. And yet you've already had this creep show experience in this business. And when people are like, you know, I'm sick of the Me Too shit and I'm sick of the Me Too. This episode is a perfect example of why women have to speak up about, because you, the fact that you were like, oh, I'm not sure. Is this, you know, that's exactly right. That's who they take advantage of. People who are like, wait, is this normal? Because you're young and naive and you're like, oh, but it's so infuriating.
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, I do talk about sex on stage because I like having sex. I'm a fucking human. But like, so then it's like, oh no, she's just a slut. Oh, that's why she got her face. She's a slut.
But the guys can talk about.
Exactly.
The guys can talk about sex.
And they're like, oh, she likes sex. And it's like, yes, I like sex, but not with you, my roster. Right. You would never be on it, dude.
Right.
And the fact that you, in your mind, think that because I have sex with, I mean, it's not even like, and that's the thing. I don't, to be honest, I don't really know the number, but like, it's not like crazy.
Right. But it's also like, as you grow as a comic, you're going to talk about other topics. I mean, that's.
Yeah,
that's
no, and your, I, and you know, I do. Your, and right. I do, but it's just like the fact that I,
but
I
it's part of
out,
who you are.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a sexual person. It's part of your point of view. It's part of your life that that you want to talk about on stage. And yet, you know, it puts you in this, you know, this is what feminism is. It puts you in this, oh, well, you're a slut. You deserve it, sort of. Like, no, yeah. But guys get on stage, talk about porn and jerking off, and they're fucking guys. And this is fucking what pisses me off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, not to get too dark, but like, I just remember.
No, please.
It's like, this is, I guess, this is so sad because I've talked about literally all of the experiences in one thing. But after college, my friend, my roommate and I, and this is when I stopped drinking for a very long time, is I got too drunk and I passed out. And a guy had sex with me. And
while you were passed out.
Yeah. And so I had to go to the hospital and like do all this shit. And I felt so bad about it. And I was like, I'm such a loser drunk. And my friend who like, she hates, my friend who's a lesbian actually, she's like, this is why I fucking hate men. It's in my fucking DNA. She was like, Hannah, just because you fall asleep, that doesn't give someone a right to have, like,
right.
Yes, you got too drunk, but that doesn't give him a right to fuck you. And the fact that you think you deserve that is like, the saddest part of this.
This is the stuff that we have to teach women, that it's not your fault, that you did nothing to bring that on, that, you know, getting drunk and passing out is something we all do at one, two, hopefully not that many points in our life, doesn't mean that you should be sexually assaulted. You did nothing wrong. Like, that's what the fucking thing is. It's like, you carry the shame, you carry the guilt. What it happened, but you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You know, it's just like,
Yeah, it's crazy. And then, but recently this guy in my building who like, we're friends and are like, you know, and we were about to hook, or he was trying to have sex with me on pretend. And I was like, stop, stop, stop. And he kept being so pushy. And that's why I'm kind of glad I have herpes. I go, you know, I have fucking herpes. So go ahead, put it in. Like, you know, it's like, fine, bitch. Like, what are you trying to, I've already said no 8 times. So now I'm like,
you know, another reason I enjoy being a lesbian. Thank you. It's just, Hannah, I thank you for sharing all this because I really think it's so important that people realize we're not exaggerating. You take our innocence away. You objectify us. You know, the systemic misogyny in this country is something that really needs to be dealt with. So fuck all you. Before we go.
Yeah, sorry, that was a weird note to end on, but.
No, I'm so happy because it's like, you know, we get this perspective from you of what it's like to be a 28-year-old just trying to fucking create art and comedy. Like, that's all you want to do.
Yeah. And the whole time it's like, you're not that hot though. And it's like, that's not what I'm trying to do.
Are you hot, you fucking asshole?
Yeah.
All right. I asked my guest two things and I have a bubble in my throat right now. Number one, we're very pro mental health. I take meds. I go to therapy, meditate. I haven't meditated in a couple of years. All right. What do you do for your mental health?
That's so interesting. I bought a SoulCycle bike, so I do that. It's a very basic bitch, but
that's so you exercise. Exercise. Any meds, anything?
Yeah, I take Zoloft.
That made me throw up.
I don't love Zoloft, but my anxiety was so bad.
You know, join the club, baby. You're a comic. If you don't have mental health issues, there's something wrong with you. All right. So I just bought a Peloton, everyone.
Yeah.
It's not here yet, but I couldn't take anymore because I could literally sit in the fucking apartment all day. So you're on meds. We love that. And therapy. Have you gone to therapy?
I started after my relationship with that guy. I was so gutted. My mom was like, you have to go.
Good. How old are your parents?
My dad is 64 and my mom is 62.
Oh, good. Phew. Okay. So I'm younger. All right. And then,
my dad's a big fan of you actually. Yeah.
Parenting. Let's smoke weed together.
He was like, have you heard of Judy Gold? And I was like, this is before the podcast, but I was like, yeah, she's rep by Rick. And yeah, she's really funny. He's like, I just saw her on Good Morning America, I think, or.
Oh yeah. Or something. The Today Show. All right. Okay. So our final question is, cause I get pissed off at everything. What pisses you off more than anything, like makes you crazy, like irrationally mad? And it could be anything, anything.
I think it's a man who's clearly lying to me and thinks I'm stupid and I don't know what's going on. It makes me, my blood is like, and it doesn't have to be like sexual or anything. It can be a point where a guy's talking down.
That's patronizing. Yeah.
It's literally, I told my friend last night, I was like, I think about certain, it makes my blood, and I've blown up at guys now. I'm like, do you think I'm fucking stupid? Like, I'm so. I'm,
Keep doing that.
Oh my God. I've lost it.
You always stick up for yourself, Hannah. Or you
started
can stick
me
to. On them.
Yeah.
And just get them with the comedy, you know, be like, oh yeah, because you're so long. You know, you just got to give it right back to them. And you're not a brand, you're a person, and I think you're gay.
Thank you.
Okay, because I'm not.
Well, the herpes made me lose weight.
Oh, God.
The Valtrex I take daily.
Can you give me that guy's number? I haven't been with a guy in, you know, how many years? Oh, my God, it's been 35. Oh, okay, I really didn't like it at all. Hannah, what? Where can people find you?
I'm at Hans Dickey, HANSDICKIE.
Hannah Dickinson, HANNA. You spell it wrong, by the way, because the correct Hannah.
I tell my parents that all the time.
Because that's my middle name. And what's your middle name?
I don't have one.
So you're at?
Hans, H-A-N-S, Dickey, D-I-C-K-I-E.
Hans Dickey. And can people watch your Snapchat show? Snapchat?
Yeah. You got to search Get Money.
Get Money. Your podcast, Don't Tell Mom.
Yes.
I wish you all the luck. And I am really happy that I got to talk to someone who's in the thick of this at your age. We dealt with it so much. I was gigantic and a lesbo, so I'd be like, oh, fuck you. You know, like, but it does go on and it continues to go on and it has to fucking stop.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me.
No, anytime. You're a delight, Hannah Banana. And check her out. She was in the Forbes under 30 and I was in the Forbes over 90. Okay.
Happy New Year. And thank you so much for listening to part 2 of Kill Me Now with Hannah Dickinson.
Now, if you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this incredibly amazing podcast, okay? And I looked online and I noticed a lot of other people who haven't been podcasting for that long have way more reviews than I do. So I need you to do that, please. 5 stars only, thanks. If you have not purchased my book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. There's really, honestly, I know I keep plugging it every week, but I am so proud of it. And it is a great read, especially in the winter months where you're in the house and it's a pandemic. So the audiobook was featured in the New York Times book review. I'm just going to read one review that was just put up on January 2nd, okay? This is from Amazon customer. They didn't put their name. Listen, excellent, thought-provoking book. Really, a fascinating and absorbing read that led me to reflect on my own life in a different way and perhaps question some of my personal views and biases. My definition of a good book is one that expands your life view and makes you think. A few laughs never hurt either. Highly recommended. Okay, so just do it. Please, please, thank you. I know that was a little whiny, but whatever. It would mean a lot to me if you would check it out. All order links are on the homepage of judygold.com or wherever books are sold. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram for everything I'm doing. Everything, you know. And I mean everything. Virtual, live, everything. I am at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y, G-O-L-D. Get it? Because I'm a Jew. Judy Gold, at Judy Gold, on Instagram and on Twitter. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? January 20th, everyone. January 20th. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long!